much
is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hath thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou art mightiest still, the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with honor and glory and honor. Thou hast made him, thou hast given him dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the path of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Our Father, I thank you again for bringing us all here into your house tonight to praise and worship your name. I ask that you would please let each of us go home with a little something in our hearts that we didn't have when we came here. Bless Dr. Siegler as he gives us the message tonight, and may each and every one of us hear exactly what you want us to hear, that it might touch our hearts each in a different way. Thank you again for this glorious Sabbath day, God, and please let us have many more like it, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
You take a hymnal once again, please, our hymn medley tonight. Hymn number 350. We'll sing the first.
But you cannot have rest
Thank you. If you would stand now and please turn to hymn number 371. We sing the first. You're going to have to talk to him when you get home, I guess, though.
That thou art mindful of him. Man has a unique position in this universe. He was the first creation of life in that respect that God created for this world. You are well aware of the fact that the Bible teaches that God created this universe to have it ready for man. And then from the dust of the earth, he made the body. And he breathed his own breath into that body, and man became a living soul. In the beginning, he was alone, and God was concerned about that position of this one being alone. I think there's a reason why he was concerned just beside the fact that he was the first, but he was aware that things were not complete. And so, as a result, out of the man, God took a rib and created the woman to become a helpmeet unto this man. Now, their dictionaries differ as to the meaning. Frequently, you hear people say, woman is a helpmate to man. But I think you'll find that the more accurate dictionaries, and there are some that are more accurate, will give the fact that helpmate means a cooperator with man, one that works with man. He or she is a helpmate to man. But a helpmeet to man is united to man and a part of man. And so woman is a helpmeet unto man. Man wouldn't get far without the helpmeet. He's a part of the human race. It was essential that there would be a helpmeet before the human race could be populated. Consequently, she is a complement that's absolutely essential to completing man. So the two are together. Man, however, is used in two terms, a head of the human family, and then he is of the particular sex to which responsibility was imposed in seeing that things on this earth multiplied. And that was in the every realm of the earth. God put that responsibility on him, that the things of this earth would multiply. The propagation of things were absolutely essential, and particularly after sin came, because as a consequence of sin, certainly the human family was dead in sin. And therefore, if we went that way and no way to propagate the family, then there wouldn't be a continuation of the human family. So God created man, and out of the body of man he took the rib and created woman, and definitely instructed that they too would become one. And so it's important that we not argue about who is ahead of things, but recognize that neither could be and do the purpose of God without each. But they are united as one. I don't think we can get much from arguing who's the strongest and who's the greatest, because both are absolutely essential. It is true, God put the responsibility of seeing that things multiplied on this earth. And I take it that he has not taken that responsibility away, and he has not exchanged it. There's a place for woman, and a big place in helping this man in his great responsibility on this earth. And so, as we turn to the Word, we find that man was endowed with the things fundamental of honoring God and seeing that the family would continue until God saw it wise to bring a cessation of the earthly family and thereby inaugurate in finality the eternal heavens. Now, sometime soon, maybe about 3 Sunday nights from here, if I'm still in a pastor, well, then I think I'm going to speak on heaven. It might not be further than 2 Sundays or whatever it may be, but it is true that God someday will bring a cessation of the population of this earth. When that will be, I take it no one on earth has ever known or will know. Those things seem to be in the mind of God and in his wisdom, keeping that in his own mind until his purpose will have been accomplished. And it's good for us to trust him to do that very thing, until in his wisdom and by his grace, he sees it time for things to close. and bring a new heaven and a new earth. So man is so constituted in creation, if he'll develop the things that he's endowed with, to be of great importance to the whole program of this earth, natural and in a sense, I would say, supernatural. Not that he's supernatural, but he's dependent upon the supernatural, and the supernatural has endowed him to where he can impart of himself to the natural man. And consequently, man is capable of receiving wisdom beyond his own ability and receiving strength beyond his own strength in order to perform things that he could not perform were it not for the reinforcement of the supernatural. I know that. I've seen that. I've had the experience with that. It's very much like a stone there, and it weighs 500 pounds. I want to put it over here. Well, I'm unable to pick it up. It's too heavy. I'm unable to slew it. It's too heavy. I go out and I find a fulcrum and a crowbar, and I set the fulcrum at the right place and put the crowbar over the fulcrum, one end under the stone, and I take hold of the other end of the crowbar, pull down and slew. I move the stone a foot, keep moving my fulcrum until finally I've landed the stone over here on this side. Not because of my strength, but with the average power of that lever to put my strength against the crowbar enabled me to do that which was superhuman. So it is in life. We meet mental complexities. How can I know what to do? We throw our anchor of faith over the fulcrum of God's throne and ask him for strength. And as we do, if it's a worthy goal, he gives us strength beyond the powers of our mind and reveals to us his mind that helps us to see and make a decision that's beyond the human. Don't tell me it isn't true. And the same with strength, even as it is to impart of his mind to our mind, he imparts of his strength to our strength and makes us the stronger to perform the work that we could not do without the wisdom and the strength of our God. So man was created in that sense of ability to do what God commissioned him to do, to see that everything would multiply, to take care of the increase of population and even of the varied animal life so that one thing feeds upon the other and keep the process going. So man was specially endowed to carry that responsibility. Again, I think in the matter of the kingdom of God, man has definite responsibilities as a man. Now, that doesn't mean to say his responsibilities are greater than a woman, but he has special endowment that enables him to do things that woman, under certain circumstances, not because she doesn't have the ability, but the endowment with body and other things makes man responsible for certain things. You take man has a purpose of this matter of, may I say, taking something and making it large and handling in its larger reach of life. You say that the woman has that ability if she would just exercise it. Some things, no doubt, she does. Other things, I think, are true that she would not be able to do. Man is capable of doing lots of big things that certainly the woman, in my estimation and interpretation, say that she is not qualified in that sphere of life. So man can be qualified if he let God. He's endowed with the capacity to receive the reinforcement of God to help him do marvelous things in the world order. Now, with that, man has one type of ambition, and woman ordinarily has a type of ambition in other fields that may be to some degree according to tradition or to habit. but I think it's also true to the creative feature of our human body, our human being, or if you let me use the term of sex. I think there are many, many things woman can do that man cannot do. I think there are other things that man can do that woman cannot do and fulfill the true purpose of that which God gave both to the man and to the woman. They are to reinforce each in the field. So man is endowed with capacities to really take hold of this thing we call building the kingdom of God on earth. Woman is endowed with great ability to reinforce that leadership and certainly to take leadership in certain segments of the program, no doubt about that. But at the same time, this thing you call the spread of the gospel to a lost world is, in my judgment, the biggest business that God has ever entrusted to man. Now, certainly he has commissioned him to produce and to see that things multiply, that everything shall be cared for, but when it came to the spiritual kingdom, then again, the call comes first according to the teachings of Jesus. He was born of woman, but when he came to the call, he called men first to launch this great movement of building the kingdom of God in this world. And so it becomes a peculiar responsibility of man, I think, because of his endowment in creation. And therefore, I take it if we ought to be grateful for men who learn these things and who appreciate these opportunities and along with it are willing to share these responsibilities. And to me, one of the most encouraging things for the last 30 or 40 years has been the increase of the interest of Christian men in giving the gospel to this whole world. And I tell you, it's just most encouraging. I live long enough to see the great change, and we have so many more men, and I say a larger percentage of men who come to see that one of the high privileges afforded him is to know God through faith in Christ and then to become partners with God and joint partners with Jesus in carrying on the movement of this great thing we call the kingdom of God. Now, brethren, I don't know whether you agree with me or not, and sisters, but I say the biggest business in this world is the business of building the kingdom of God. When you've done that, you'll enrich everything else within the kingdoms of the earth, if that earthly kingdom has God built through Christ in the hearts of men and women. Amen. And we can't build men without God. Hear me, we can't build men without God. We may build human beings and cultivate their minds, but we can't build character. We can't build character on an unregenerate heart. We may build good intent and a lot of good things and a good practices come from tradition, but in the heart of man with the love of God in it, something happens to that man if he will let it use him and he in turn use that special endowment of the life of Christ incarnated in him. Now that's true with women, no doubt about that. But men need to take a great part in the kingdom, building the kingdom of God in the heart and the life of people. But I certainly would come along and say by the side of it is woman. That old saying is that back of every good man, there's a good mother. And by the side of every good man, there's a good wife. You can say amen to that, without a doubt. And so, we're dependent one on another. And we're not to get the idea that one's to take the place of the other, but each one find his or her place and fill that. And I'm not telling you what to do, but I am telling you that God commissioned man to go out there and see that this universe, the objects of it, and the form of life would multiply. But when he came to the human family, and it's true everywhere, everywhere there's a female along by the side of the male. You can go out there in the pine woods, and there'll be a male tree and a female tree. You can go out there in the field, and there's about the plant, the male and the female. And so there it is. And you've got to have it. Everything that lives courts. And that's a blessed thing. Everybody owes to court. We don't need such thing as mating apart from loving. And courtship is fundamental in loving. A man ought never ask a woman to become his helpmeet without he loves her. And a woman never ought to accept a man's invitation to become his helpmeet unless she loves him. Not for his money, not for his sex or he for hers, but love. That's natural. And out of that, helpmeet to join, to become one, to reproduce of the kind and glorify God and enrich the love and the joys of companionship. Not pitting one against the other, but building one with the other is the way. I think woman has special endowments to be a mother. I know that a lot today certainly do not agree with me, but I doubt that there's a higher ministry in this universe than the privilege of being a mother. Being a mother, giving life to this world, giving birth to the life of this world, and then having that life during its period of plasticity. The woman that rocks a cradle controls the world. Not the one, in my judgment, primarily, and I have no objection to it, who goes to the Congress or anywhere else in an office, but the hand that rocks the cradle controls the world. Tell me which way woman's going, and I'll tell you where the race is going.